Good evening, everyone. Anyone that's here, good evening, and everyone else, good evening. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf for June 10th, 2021. Roll call, please.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Here.
Tom Burks?
Present.
This is, as I said, the Board of Adjustment. We are a group that's appointed by the mayor. Normally there's five of us, but at the moment we have a vacancy. It's our function to rule on items that are properly before us. Normally they are such things as special uses and variances. Most of the time we come prepared to vote on the items before us at each meeting. Minutes of the last meeting, we've all received those minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. The first item on the agenda is case 21-034. It's 905 Middle Road. It's a C2 district. Special use permit to allow an outdoor service area associated with a bar. It's submitted by Amber Brannard, and it was deferred from the last meeting. Staff report.
Thank you, Chairman. As you mentioned, this was case 21-034, and it was deferred from the last meeting due to some questions from the neighboring property owner. She wasn't totally opposed to it, but just had some questions, so we deferred. And since that meeting, we were notified the property owner and the applicant had met. The property owner is representing the hotel, and those questions are answered, and there's no more questions. Brief background, I'll just go quickly through it since most of the board has seen this. It's a special use permit for an outdoor patio. This is a unit within a building with multiple units in it. The bar was approved for a special use permit in January 2021. It's going to take up three parking stalls, and there's plenty of cross easement parking within that parking lot and in the hotel. There's the location, 905 Middle Road, across from the Duck Creek Plaza. It's in C2 district, zoning district. And that's a rendering of the patio. And then it'll have fencing around it with access on the sidewalk and gates. So separate it from the drive-through. The drive-through for Starbucks goes right there. And there's a kind of a picture where the cars are parked, actually. Based upon the no more concerns from the neighboring property owner, and staff recommends this be approved with one condition that doesn't waive any state or federal or other provisions required by law for outdoor alcohol service.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No.
Anyone in the audience wish to address us in connection with this matter?
Just ask a question since I wasn't here last time. How many will it seat outside?
Depending on the size of the tables, maybe.
If you're going to answer, I hate that. Would you please go to the microphone so we can record?
Depending on the size of the tables, between either 4 to 6 tables, 4 people per table.
And just for the record, Mr. Chairman, I think it's Amber Brainerd, who's the purveyor of the bar that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And applicant, yep.
Any other questions?
No.
Nope. Thank you. What's your pleasure?
I'll make the motion that we approve case 21-034 for the special use for the outdoor service area.
Subject to the staff comments?
Right. Yes.
So I have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Humbert?
Okay, that passes. Thank you. Good luck.
Yep.
The next is case number 21044. It's 3923 State Street. It's an I-2 district. It's a variance to allow an on-premises identification sign on a non-street frontage and to increase the allowable square footage of an on-premises identification sign from 279 square feet to 929 square feet. It's submitted by Manette's Inc. Staff report.
Thank you, Chairman. So yes, this is coming from Manette's Inc., concrete mixing plant located at on State Street. The applicant came to us with wanting to install three signs, one monument sign of 48 square feet, which would show the name and the address located near the street frontage, and then two on-building signs on the concrete mixing structure. The structure is quite tall, 60, 70 feet. This would go well over the allowable sign square footage per ordinance. That allowable sign square footage is calculated by the depth of the setback of the building and then the width of the lot divided by two. That's how it reads for on-building identification signs. This is an I-2 district. The same calculation would apply to other districts as well for this category of sign. So that's kind of how our sign ordinance is laid out. Also, to note, this is one of the signs proposed is non-street frontage, and our ordinance specifies street frontage signs only. So that would be another item that we varied from the ordinance. The locations of the signs and the property. The monument sign located here, and then this is the outline of the building, the tall building. So one north-facing sign is proposed to be 20 by 40 feet, and then the other would be 10 by 20. Here's the zoning. I-2, surrounded by industrial as well, and then commercial across the street, across from State Street. So here's kind of there's a lot going on here, but the three renderings of the signs as submitted, monument and the two on-building signs, and then we have the calculation for the lot width. As you can see, this is the combination of lots and irregular lot dimensions, so it's not very standard. So you have that in play, but this is the lot width we took. There is some leeway, I guess, with a old easement that was incorporated into the lot down here. But looking at this case, staff could not find any precedent for similar cases of a industrial sign variance. There has been cases for commercial properties, but they're located in different zoning districts, there's different traffic at play. There does exist some hardships on the property. I noted the irregular lot size, and that is the main basis of the calculation for the total allowable sign square footage. And in addition, there is large billboards located in near the property on the approach coming eastbound and westbound, eastbound mostly though, on State Street. There's some large billboards located on the intersection of Devil's Glen and State Street that do obscure the whole building actually. So that could be a case for larger sign square footage allowed to be seen. And I can show you. This is kind of a perspective view to give you some perspective. This is at the corner, actually from the gas station, Shell gas station, at the corner of Devil's Glen and State Street. And you can see the structure here. That's from over, it's like 860 feet away from the actual structure. And then the proposed signs, the one on the right is proposed, as I said, 20 by 40. He took some square footage out of that because of the V, so he took like 119 cutout basically, and that's fine. And the other sign is just a square sign of 10 by 20. The monument sign is 48 square feet, and that would be permitted within setbacks up to 60 feet. And staff would regard that as pretty integral to the property for safety reasons, wayfinding, public safety, fire, police. So that being only 48 feet, we want that there. We don't want them to sacrifice the monument sign for a larger on-building sign. We think that is very helpful. There's some more renderings of the same signs mentioned. And looking at this and looking at some of the other signs permitted and some of the variances permitted in the past for commercial properties, and taking in the hardships of the obstructions, the irregular lot size, the staff would recommend permitting a monument sign, the 48 square foot monument sign, due to the reasons just noted. And then also permitting one on-building sign up to a size of 15 by 25, which would be 375 square feet. So that's over, it's around a little about 100 feet over the allowable sign square footage based on the calculation for this lot. That's staff recommendation. Any questions? And I can go back to anything you guys would like to look at as well.
Your recommendation is that the sign be reduced?
Reduced.
It be greater than the 279, reduced to from the 929 to 375.
Yeah, and that would be for one sign.
And only allow one sign.
Correct, yeah. Yep.
Plus
the monument. So, yeah, so two signs, monument plus one on-building sign.
Maybe a quick synopsis, because there's so much information coming at you right now. By ordinance, let's just talk about the on-building signage. We all agree that the monument sign is good to go. No issues there from staff. In fact, we encourage those. We like them for many reasons, 911 being one of them. He, on his building, is proposing an 800-square-foot sign. Per ordinance today, with no hardships considered, he'd only be allowed 279 on one building side because he's not a double-fronted lot. We think there's enough hardships from viewpoints and the fact that the size of the building is not given as a mitigating factor in our ordinance, and this is a very big building, that we think we can get to 375 and defend that as a logical number. So that staff recommendation is that he go with 375 feet on one side. We're willing to work with him on the cutout of the M if that helps him get that to that number, but that's what we're proposing. The 800 is just something we can't really get our minds around.
Okay. So the company knows your recommendations, right?
And the staff report was sent out, and yep,
so
comments.
I think that's where I'm coming from, is that they're not here to dispute it.
Yeah. What was their reaction to either reducing the size or
eliminating one?
We did receive a letter from them, and it was submitted with your packet, giving their reasoning was not so much the hardships, but also just the size of the building and proportional dimensions of the sign to the building. No word was received, to my knowledge, after staff comment the staff report was sent out.
Yeah, we're just talking amongst ourselves this week. We're not sure that we had any calls from Manats after they received the staff report.
No, I had not.
Might be something that we want to think about. If it's odd to me that a matter of this magnitude, they're not here.
Well, I find that odd, too.
And I just want to make sure there wasn't a miscommunication.
Okay.
I don't think that this is time critical. You're the board. You can make whatever decision you want, and we'll abide by that. But if it's not kind of time critical and there may have been some miscommunication, post office, who knows what, maybe we pump the brakes on this one.
Another month, you mean? Give them an opportunity to respond.
I'm not opposed to two signs in general. In general, I like signage. So as I was going through the packet earlier this week, I was thinking, this looks like a decent idea. And then I saw that sign. 800 square feet is just a monster. I mean,
yeah.
that's just
well, and then
it's bigger than most billboards.
It would set
a precedent.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so
from
I mean,
from a marketing point of view, I can see why they want to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But without them here, I mean, I'd at least want them to have the opportunity to talk about
Yeah, it just seems odd to me that a company of this stature and that has been so communicative with us in the past is not here tonight.
Yeah.
And maybe there's been a crash or something. I hope not. But this is odd to me. So I would.
And they were in contact throughout the process. So.
Yeah, it's just odd that they're not here. We are very surprised by that.
Well, I mean,
why don't we just defer it then? If they weren't here for their own reasons and they were fine with it, then fine, we'll just take care of it at the next meeting. Then,
right.
But give them the opportunity.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. I think we should, give them an opportunity. I guess I'm in favor of that.
They've been very professional to work with.
My personal feeling is that the 929 square foot sign or whatever is too big, and I don't know how we could defend that around the town.
Right.
No. The compromise sounds reasonable. I'm certainly willing to listen to them, however, and take a foot or two or five or ten.
And I know that he travels, so something unforeseen may have come up, and I just would rather give them benefit of the doubt. They have been so professional to work with, so we would honor that.
Okay. Well, I'll make the motion that we defer it to the next meeting, case 21044.
Second.
Okay, a motion to defer to the next meeting. I guess we need a roll call vote.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Chance?
Yes.
Humbert? Yes.
Okay, that's deferred then. We'll hear about that next month. The next is case 21045. It's 4465 53rd Avenue, C1 District, excuse me.
Bless you.
Special use permit to allow an outdoor service area associated with a restaurant, and it's submitted by Shane Edwards. Staff report.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application from Shane Edwards, who's a possible future tenant in the building owned by Windmillers, Ryan Windmiller. It's a request for a special use permit for an outdoor service area. As mentioned, it was zoned in the C1 Neighborhood Commercial District. The proposed restaurant would be Stout's, a pub, a burger pub. The patio would be constructed on the northwest side of the building in the parking lot. Analyzing this for extra parking requirements due to the extra capacity of the patio, staff determined it does meet parking requirements. But would create a situation where future tenants of the building would be limited. There'd be a limited use for those tenants. That would be general office or similar uses that would require one space per 250 square feet or less. Looking at the lot, the building's currently under construction. Now this is from April, this aerial. It's lot one, Chops of the Woodlands. I should mention there's no cross easements, parking easements for this lot, so all parking is contained within the lot. The next door tenant, or maybe owner now, is a bank and with a drive-through, so they're not interested in sharing parking. And then they are bound by residential to the south and 53rd to the north. Here's a close-up. It's obviously under construction. I mentioned it was our C1 neighborhood commercial. The restaurants are limited in size there to 3,500 square feet, and this restaurant will be under that. It does not require a special use permit because it is a restaurant and bar, making over 50% of its revenue from food. This is the site plan. It's kind of hard to see, but you have the building here. And then this triangle, which I'll have a zoom in, is the is where they're proposing to put the so the raised concrete was already there. It was already proposed, and they're proposing putting the outdoor service area on that. And this is the floor plan for the restaurant and patio. Staff did receive two comments, notices did go out to neighbors, and we did receive two comments. One was from a resident located in the subdivision, lodges at Beaver Meadows to the north, so on the north side of 53rd Avenue. The resident was opposed to the outdoor patio due to noise, increased traffic, among a number of other things. The second caller was a resident representing the Village of the Woodlands Homeowners Association to the south, across on the south side of Ontario Street. She was not opposed, but just had questions regarding the music at night, what time it would be, if there was going to be music, what time it shut down, and then whether parking would be allowed on Ontario, and if there was spillover allowed. Both noted they could not make the meeting and wanted their comments to be forwarded to the board. Regarding the Woodlands HOA representative, do have a noise ordinance which would cover any residential areas adjacent to commercial areas. And then for parking, I'm not sure if parking is allowed on Ontario, but it can be looked at again, and that would have to be passed by council for any type of no parking, increased parking requirements or no parking signs on certain areas in the city. Given recent similar cases for outdoor service areas that have been approved, this case is very similar. And staff concludes that this meets all provisions of our 9-part test required for special use permits. Staff would recommend approval with two conditions. One, that they meet other state, federal, local provisions required by law for serving alcohol and food. And second, any future uses of the remaining units in the lot one of the Woodlands, the building that's there, any units be of general office use or similar use that requires only one parking space per 250 square feet or a less intense use. Any questions?
So this application is submitted by the prospective tenant.
Correct.
But these conditions, or at least the second condition, would be binding on the landlord.
Correct. Well, and the landowner does have to
consent
to the application. Yeah. Okay. The use is for the tenant in the owner's building.
Right. We require both signatures on the application, typically.
Okay.
Property owner and
on the application is one thing, but does the landlord consent to this condition?
Fair question.
That's
fair question.
Yeah.
Yep.
That binds on him, not on the tenant.
This is shown. The uses are shown in the approved site development plan that approved by Planning Commission and Council, and it is shown actually for this amount of restaurant square feet and the rest as general office.
Okay.
So this is in a way a somewhat added redundancy, but I think it's really important because some of the parking for the parking calculations are given daytime, nighttime switching, and which is allowable per code. So they're really at the maximum given this addition of a outdoor patio service area.
Is that the lowest parking requirement, general office?
There might be a couple others, I think salons or veterinary services, but it's one of the lower ones, yeah.
General retail is typically what, 1 per 100?
I can't recall off top, but yeah.
I can look that up while you guys.
Yeah.
So with the concerns of the neighbors, is there any kind of opportunity for fencing to buffer sound or?
Well, we just approved one last month, 4 doors down for the same use.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of odd because there was no.
Do send notices out to a certain square number of feet, 200 feet. So that does vary the.
Well, it would still hit that same development there to the north. So
I did note to the HOA representative, and like I said, she was not opposed. She just had questions, and they said the HOA was prepared for commercial developments in that area. So they just want to keep on top of things. And you'll note the patios here, up here. And there is a dumpster area right here and a fence around there. So that kind of provides some buffering, I mean, for at least view to all residents that are directly south. And then there is some, here's Ontario. It's all the residents are down here for, that's Village of the Woodlands. For the other comment we received, they are across the street of 53rd, which is a high traffic area.
Right. The traffic's not going to be any different. With
no.
And there's no access off 53rd directly to any of these. They're all access via Ontario. And that's, so there's, staff would regard that traffic wouldn't increase necessarily just on 53rd.
Just for the board's edification, I'll read out a few of the parking requirements. One of the lowest is actually restaurants, neighborhood in general, which is one space per 100 square feet of floor area. Typically, it bounces between 200 and 250 for other type of services, other type of retail services. Personal services are one per 200 square feet, 250 square feet, excuse me. Retail uses are one per 200 square feet.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, that 200 to 250 is pretty common throughout our ordinance.
Okay.
So your restriction, you said it would be...
per 250.
Yeah, something that would be 250-ish.
And that's general office, and that's
But it's also retail, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that gives them
some of it's 200.
One per 200 for retail users.
So that gives windmillers some opportunities, I guess.
And as I mentioned, this was shown as on the site development plan and approved by commission and council, and so as restaurant and general office.
Yep.
Okay.
Right, just the condition wasn't.
But the conditions, he didn't know what the conditions were.
Correct.
So it's cutting his ability to rent down.
So at that point, if we approve it, I mean, he still has to be on board with it. He can decide not to even lease to the guy.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, the developer...
He finds out the conditions.
Yeah, developer's been very aware of this. In fact, he, in many ways, helped bring this forward, and we worked on total size of dining area and total size of outdoor area so that he would not... be higher than a neighborhood restaurant, because that's all that's allowed to go there.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of communication between me directly, staff directly, with the developer.
Perfect. Okay.
He's aware of the conditions.
He's absolutely aware of the conditions.
Oh, well, that makes
sense.
There we
go.
That's good.
So
he should be. That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, here we go.
Any question? Any more questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience wish to speak? I don't see anyone in the audience.
Yeah.
So, what's your pleasure?
I make the motion that we approve case 21045 with staff recommendations regarding all the other leasing options and parking and all the other things that you had listed there.
A second?
I have a second.
Okay, roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Tombergs?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's all we have for tonight, so we stand adjourned. Thank you.